Good evening, everyone, and welcome to My World, Live, Laugh, or Whatever with Stu Scheer. You could come on over here to Trim Radio Network. You can listen in, you could shop, buy merchandise with us, and I'll tell you what, we would love to see you in it. It helps us stay on the air. If you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us. The opinions expressed by my host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And that includes any medical and health professional information as well. Always contact your primary. We expressly deny any and all liabilities from such program. Anyway, our BMI music license covers our Leave It to Beaver. 6105-1658 is the license number. And we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. And without further ado, I'm giving you to Stu.
Hey, Michael. Boy, I'll tell you what, a lot of stuff's been going on. We had a great concert Sunday. You know, we didn't do Money and Change. We had to do an encore edition, in other words, a rerun, because the concert time just happened to be at the time we were normally doing the radio show. Whoa, excellent concert. We had a full house. I mean, it was packed. The people at Tip Center in Tip City, Ohio, did an excellent job. They always do when we have concerts there. And they provided refreshments and cookies and all kinds of stuff for afterwards. And it was a great time. Really good concert, really good response. We have another one to play this coming Sunday in Troy, Ohio, and we'll have a pretty good crowd there. And then we will be playing one in a small town called Piqua, Ohio, and that's up north of Dayton, Ohio. And so we've got three concerts this season. And then we take a break for a few months and we start practicing again and get ready for the spring season. And that will more than likely happen. The first concert will probably be in May and we'll probably have six concerts to do. And hopefully they're on Sunday afternoons and not evenings. So we'll see what happens there. But we had an excellent concert. We even had the Grinch showed up. But he didn't take any cookies. And that was a good thing because everybody had cookies. It was fantastic. And a big shout out to Gail Ahmed for being the conductor and all the people in the 70-piece band. And a lot of the people in there are professionals. And there's some amateurs too. And we have a really good time. It's a good fun bunch. And that's the Tippecanoe Community Band, better known as the Tip City Band. Anyhow, great time. We play all kinds of music, and we're doing Christmas music for children now. But you wouldn't believe the stuff that we play. Interesting. Well, anyhow, guys, welcome to my world. I hope your world is doing pretty good, but it's my world tonight. Live, laugh, and whatever. And I've got a lot of different things because we didn't do Money and Change on Sunday. And so what I told Michael what I really wanted to do was kind of mix the two together. We'll talk a little about what's going on in the world, and we'll spend a little bit of time with some humor too. But I have to kind of tie the two together, if you know what I mean. Well, you know, Michael does his disclaimer, and I have to do mine. So nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take whatever we say with a grain of salt, a big grain of salt, and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. You know, get the popcorn out, get something to drink. Hey, join us. We'll be here for an hour. And hopefully you get some information and have a good time too. Oh, and hey, tell your friends to join us on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. And, you know, I always go through a bunch of stuff on shout-outs. And here I am. I ought to have this memorized by now, but I have a long list. But I always like to do shout-outs. We don't have commercials. You know, we basically do the show, and we talk about a lot of different things. But I have people that they don't pay me to say who they are, what they do, and so forth. You know, I always like to give a pat on the back to different people, especially the Tip City Band, because, hey, they're good people, even though we did have a Grinch there. Hey, big shout out to Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. And we've been doing this now for many, many years, My World and also Money and Change. So, you know, we have some fun doing it. And check us out on Facebook. You know, just put in My World and on Facebook, and it'll bring it up in Yahoo groups or Facebook groups. Or you can go ahead and type in Money and Change and take a look at us on the Trim Radio Network. And there's a lot of stuff that we do there. Also, a big shout out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. Hey, it's basketball time. Hopefully they do better this year than they did last year. They had a bunch of new players. But they generally have fun playing ball. Division II NCAA school. And they have some very good sports teams. They're good facilities too, so check them out. Oh, by the way, they just don't play sports, they also provide people with an education. So if you're looking for a master's degree or a bachelor's degree or a doctoral degree, good programs no matter which way you go. And you can study business, you can study education, you can do science, nursing, physical therapy, hazardous materials. I mean, they have it all. I mean, it's really, really good school. Good professors, great administration. I can't say enough about Dr. Kathy Fell, and she runs the university. She's done an excellent job and will continue to do an excellent job. Super person, too. Also, a big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. And, you know, we always talk about the pens that both Phil makes for Michael and myself and a whole host of other people. So if you want a presentation pen complete with the case and everything, I'll tell you what, go to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens, and he has a page on Facebook, and he's developing a page for a website. But Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens, he makes some beautiful pens. I mean, they are great presentation pens. Michael and I both have them, and Michael has some really fancy ones with cars because he likes to work on cars, especially Cobras. But he does an excellent job. So if you have a school or a school system or college or university or a business, and you want to award gifts to your big investors or your grantors or whatever, hey, these pens are great. They're built on a cross pen platform, which is a very good pen platform, and they are very beautifully done. Hey, and if you're a Second Amendment person, Phil has a couple designs with the Second Amendment, complete with a neat pocket clip. You'll love it. You'll love it. Check it out, Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. Also, you know, hey, shout out for Money and Change. We're on every Sunday at 7 p.m. But not for the next couple of weeks. I still have two concerts to go. And I couldn't get around the scheduling. I'd love to do afternoon concerts, but somehow this season they've got us doing nights. So we'll have encore editions, and I will cover some things in My World tonight. Also, a big shout out to the Big Family Homestead with Brad and Krista out in Wisconsin. And it's starting to get cold out there. And I imagine they have snow by now. great people I've met them. I've talked to them. Great people. Deep South Homestead with Danny Wanda King. Right now, he is pressing cane. Instead of raising cane, he's pressing it out and getting cane liquid. And I watched that today for a little bit. And they don't just do farming. They talk about all kinds of things, you know, whether it's prepping or canning or what's going on in the world, the economy, you know, you name it. Danny will talk about it. Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. Check him out. Matter of fact, his book, United We Stand, you have to check that book out. It's a good, good book, especially for times like now. Dave Kobler, check it out. Another one is The Provident Prepper. And I've been working on this book. It's written by Kylene and Jonathan Jones out in Utah. These guys are fantastic people, and they talk a lot about prepping, even canning, doing things like that. They're good people. And Jonathan is an engineer by trade, and Kylene is a nurse by trade. So check them out. They're good people. They're good people. And the book's very well written. Plenty of pictures. I like pictures. I can see pictures better. You know, I used to, when I was in college, whether it was for undergrad or grad school, you know, there's a lot of reading involved in that. And that's why I've got glasses on. Yeah, that happens. And so anyhow, you really want to check those guys out. They have some good stuff. Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. Again, Dave is talking about boots on the ground and what's happening in the world and also in the economy. And he does a really good job at that. Then there's Prepper Nurse One with Ed Carswell. He's still digging his root cellar in West Virginia. And, we've got Appalachian Homestead with Patara. And she always says, keep your head on a swivel, if you know what I mean. And she had a good one that I posted on Money and Change. And it was talking about what's actually happening. And her husband made her put it up there, because he thought it was so important that James told Patara, get that up there so people can see it. And it is good. I've seen it a couple of times, and I'm picking up different things at different times. Great, great person. I believe she's out around Knoxville, Tennessee. And they have a farm out there, and she's very knowledgeable on everything that's going on. Trust me. So you want to follow her. Well, you know, hey, what about the Trim Radio Network? You know, you take a look at all the shows that we've got, and, you know, how do we keep ourselves on the air? Well, the big thing to keep us on the air, we've got merchandise. We don't get paid to do these shows, but we have to pay the bills, and the bills are money and I can't say money, and I'll get it right one of these days, guys. That's why they don't pay us. What we do is the merchandise is there because we have to pay the bills for the bandwidth and server time and music. We have to have a BMI music license, and that's not cheap. So we have to pay the bills with that. And we have fun doing the shows, and we all kind of chip in to get things going here. And we're having a good time. And we're broadcasting all over the world. I mean, I've got people that listen to me in Myanmar, India, South Africa. I've got people in Europe. I've got people in the United States. I believe I've got some in South America, and I've got a lot in North America that listen to the show, and that's great. And hopefully they can see a side of us as we really are, and we really have fun. But to do that, you have to shop. You have to buy the merch, as Michael calls it. It's merchandise. And there are cups and shirts and all kinds of stuff there. And it's great. A lot of good stuff. And I've even got a mug. Maybe I'll get something else posted up there instead of a mug. Maybe a sweatshirt, a hoodie, you know, with fancy money on it or something, whatever, but it's there. Some of our shows that are out there, we've got the Fishing in Florida show coming up. We've got Money and Change. We've got My World. We've got Natural Marketer podcast. We've got Offsides College Football, the Top 25, the Red Pill reality show, Slobber Knocker Talk, Spiritual Freedom show, Take Point 22 show, the Nixie Weekly Music Countdown, the Brighter Life show, and Walking with Christ God. And that's with Michael Bayhouse. So we've got all that stuff going on. And if you want to do a show, all you have to do is contact us. I'm serious. You know, there's a thing where you can contact us. You click on that and say, hey, I want to do a show. What do I have to have? What type of equipment do I need? What kind of a time slot? Whether or not you have advertisers, all kinds of things. And we'll work that out with you. And we have a good time. We really do. All the guys on here, we always keep in touch. And we have fun doing it. And that's the good thing, okay? Trim Radio Network, we cut the bull and serve the truth. It's trimradio.com. And you can listen to us, okay? Just go to our main page and you can click on what's playing live, okay? You can listen to our shows that we've done in the past too, our archive shows. So you can do that. But check it out. Also, hey, with My World and again with Money and Change, we are here on Facebook. Okay, Facebook groups, free to join. I do a lot of posting. This week I posted, here we go, prepare for the next pandemic. They're already talking about it now. They're over in Europe. One of the guys that I listened to over there said, well, it's out and people are getting sick and so forth. And he's worried. And then I listened to people that say, well, it was a psychological or a psyops thing. You know, they took a cold and they made it into something worse. And other people are talking about it over in Asia and so forth. And in Ohio, there's some cases of this flu or cold. Well, this is the year for it. There's the season for it. So, you know, wash your hands. You know, if you think you've been around stuff, a little hand sanitizer. I mean, poor guy at Walmart today, Wally World, as I like to call it. I went to Wally World today and I had to get some Claritin D because my allergies are really messed up sometimes. And there'll be maybe a couple of months I have to go taking this stuff. And so I went up to get it. And luckily there were only like three people in line ahead of me. Well, I got up there and this brand new cashier, every time he would touch something or handle money, whatever. He was putting hand sanitizer on his hand, you know, and then rubbing both hands together. There was a long line. I turned around after I got my stuff. I turned around and I looked. There must have been 15 people in line. And he didn't talk very long, but he just kept putting the sanitizer on. I'm thinking, oh, he's not wearing a mask, but he's putting sanitizer on. His hands are going to go wonky for a while. You know what I mean? Just be careful. And people sneezing and wheezing around, just stay away from them as much as you can. And hopefully they either wear a mask or cover their mouth when they sneeze and so forth. But it's the season for that. But, you know, according to a friend of mine over in England, the new pandemic is there. I've got that video right on the Facebook page. So you have to check that out. I put that there. And, you know, there was one thing that I copied there, and it's the Swedes know something is up. And you click on that. It's the CTIF.org. And it's not done in Swedish. It's English. I can't read Swedish. I don't know all the accents of it. But you want to check that out. It's there on that page. And then on Money and Change, we've got a lot of financial stuff that comes up, a lot of important stuff, and you need to check it out, okay? Check us out on Facebook because we've got both pages. Wow, what is going on? We've talked about the concert at the Tip Center and everything there. We've talked about all the people that we like to give a shout out to. I had a shocker on my cell phone today. I was at Wally World, and here I am in line and nothing to do, you know, nobody to really talk to at that point. I didn't see any of my friends there. And I thought, well, what the heck? I'll just check my phone. Well, I'm checking the message on my phone, and it says, I'm locked in the band room or the music department at UNLV. That's University of Las Vegas. And this acquaintance of mine is working on his doctorate in conducting. And he has a master's from Ohio State University. And then he went out to, I believe it was Washington State, and taught for a little bit. And then he decided to work on his doctorate at UNLV, and he's been there for several years. And I thought, well, why did he lock himself in the School of Music? I mean, he obviously has a pass card. He obviously has keys. Now, why in the heck did Charlie lock himself in the band? I'll call it the band room or the music School of Music. Kind of strange. Well, then I was looking around, and on Yahoo, they had a thing. It said, police say three victims dead, fourth wounded in a UNLV shooting, University of Las Vegas. And they said three people were fatally shot Wednesday and a fourth person critically wounded in an attack on the University of Nevada, Las Vegas campus, according to the police. And of course, there were pictures of the whole thing. The attack was just before noon, and it sent police swarming onto the campus, which is just a couple miles from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. While students barricaded themselves in classrooms, and authorities gave the all clear about 40 minutes after the first report of an active shooter. So then I figured out, okay, now I know what's going on with Charlie. And later on, I got another notice that people were hunkered down and there had been a shooting and so forth. And it was kind of interesting that he would put that out, but he did. And according to the reports, they said police haven't released the identity of the shooter or the motive for the attack. And the shooting took place in a city still scarred by the October 2017 attack by a gunman at the Mandalay Bay casino that killed 60 people and wounded hundreds more. And the police said in a post on X, formerly Twitter, that three people were killed and a fourth person was in critical condition at a hospital. Authorities didn't immediately provide additional information, but plan to give further updates at a news conference scheduled for 5 p.m. Pacific time. So now I know why Charlie was locked in a building. I don't think a doctoral student would lock himself in a building, you know. I hope he gets his doctorate. He's a good musician. Hey, there was another post that was out there. Woman sentenced to fast food job after hurling Chipotle, some people around here call it Chipotle, but Chipotle bowl at worker. Can you imagine that? I mean, this is something else. This is in the Washington Post. And they said Emily Russell was a store manager at an Ohio Chipotle when an irate customer hurled a chicken burrito bowl at her face. Now, a judge has sentenced the customer to work at a fast food job to avoid further jail time. And this person by the name, first name of Rosemary, was found guilty of one count of assault on November 28th after admitting to throwing the burrito bowl at Emily in September. And the funny thing of it is, you know, after this COVID thing, I've seen more people get aggressive. And there was a thing that was on Twitter, X, that showed two people fighting on the back service line of a Waffle House in Lima, Ohio, and they're going at it. The gal is just smashing the heck out of the guy. The guy's smashing the heck out of the gal, and everybody's clearing away from the front counter because, you know, Waffle House has that long front counter. And they're getting out of the way while these guys are going at it. And I mean, pans were flying. I don't know about food. I didn't see any food fly, but pans were flying and they were thrashing about in the back line, and it was nasty. And I kind of worry about that. I mean, people go nuts. Was it because they got the, you know what, that's causing this? Is it something in the food that's causing it? People used to never do that. And to see it put out for people to witness it, yeah, I mean, it was something to see. And the place was busy too. So I don't know what happened, what the cause was. I know that probably the owner of Waffle House is probably having a sit down with those people and discussing the facts of life, if you know what I mean. Pick up your check on Friday and turn in your uniform type of talk. I know that I would probably have that discussion, find out who's guilty, and then sayonara. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. I've used that phrase several times. But, you know, it's interesting that the judge said that the person's behavior went viral on video showing her screaming at Emily and then grabbing her food and throwing it directly in her face. And at first she was slated to pay a fine and undergo a 180-day jail term with 90 days suspended. However, the judge offered her a chance to reduce her sentence with a highly unusual proposition. And the judge presented her with an opportunity to cut her sentence by 60 days in exchange for consenting to work 20 hours per week at a fast food restaurant for 2 months. Well, the gal agreed because she didn't want to spend a lot of time in jail, and especially in the Allen County Jail in Lima, Ohio. Trust me, not good people. Okay, and oh, how do I know? My college roommate was originally from a town called Elida, which is about 6 miles outside of Lima. And so I was familiar with Lima going up to visit he and his wife and my godchild. And so it was really it's an interesting town. Nice people up there, I guess, except in Waffle House when they're working. But anyhow, the Allen County Jail is not a nice place to be, okay? So if you're ever in Lima, Ohio, or as some newscasters call it, Lima, because they can't pronounce, don't go to the jail. There's a good hamburger place there. Other than Waffle House, it's called Cupie's. And it's been around a long time. If you know about Wendy's, well, guess what? Wendy's kind of copied some of their stuff from Cupie's. True story. And there was a guy that owned a place up in Findlay, Ohio, by the name of Stubb Wilson, and he called it Wilson's. Well, Stubb Wilson also owned Cupy. You can't miss it. They've got three locations in Lima, and it's good. Good hamburgers. I mean, really good hamburgers. I really like them. They're steak burgers, basically. So you can check those out if you're ever going to Lima. Of course, if you're coming up I-75 and you go past Lima and you go up to Findlay to visit the University of Findlay, you might want to stop at Wilson's downtown Findlay and try one of their hamburgers. It's the same as the steak burgers they have down in Lima, okay? And I say they're better than Wendy's. And I met Dave Thomas several times, okay? So much for that. There's some stuff in the news. Hospitality jobs tumble for first time in almost 3 years as ADP disappoints. And this was in Zero Hedge, and it said, after ADP has printed lower than BLS for the last Bureau of Labor Standards for the last 2 months, and they're showing the chart, and it went down 37.6%, and it was published in Bloomberg. And the expectations were for a small tick higher in November, despite the ugly jolts. Things don't look good. Changes in industry, in goods, natural resources and mining was up 5,000. Construction was down 4,000. Manufacturing is down 15,000. In services, trade, transportation, and utilities, the employment was up by 55,000. Information technology was 4,000 up. Financial activities, 11,000 up. Professional and business services, down 5,000. Education and health services, up by 44,000. That's why, you know, you can't keep teachers. A lot of violence in the schools. I mean, it's unreal. It's like a battle zone sometimes. And people say, well, if you had kids, where would you put them? I said, well, I would probably put them in a parochial school system, because I've gotten a better education at the parochial schools than I have in public education. I've been to 6 different colleges and universities, and out of the ones where I really got very good instruction were the parochial or the church schools. One of the best, I thought, was Xavier University in Cincinnati. That's a Jesuit school, and very good school, very challenging. So was the University of Findlay. And as for the state schools, yeah, the education's presented there, but I don't think it's as concentrated, or at least it wasn't when I went to school. Other services, they were up 15,000. Leisure and hospitality was down 7,000. Okay, so we've got a problem there. With the national debt clock, we got to tell the politicians to stop spending our money. Good grief. The U.S. national debt is almost $34 trillion. Really, I'm looking at it real time on the us.clock.org. $33,894,167,000,000 and flying. That means it translates to $100,854 per citizen. And for taxpayers, it's $259,949. Why are they spending all that stuff? You know, we're almost 34 million in billion, trillion. Oh, too many zeros. 33 trillion in debt, and the U.S. federal tax revenue is only $4.4 trillion. So the revenue there was $13,177 per citizen. State debt is, what is it, $1,277,626,000,000, almost $227 million, which is $3,819 per citizen. You know, if government was on a budget, it would be a lot better. But, you know, if we were like the government, we'd be in jail. They'd have debtors' prisons, and they would throw us in a corner in a heartbeat. You know, that's why I always tell people, pay down your debt. Put some money aside. Buy some long-term food. Be able to purify and store water. Make sure you have your medications. Make sure you have the clothing for the season, alternative sources of heat, because it's going to get cold this winter. So do you have a kerosene heater? Do you have a fireplace? Do you have a propane heater, portable propane heater? Do you have electric heat? It's going to get cold out there, guys. You have to be prepared. Oh, and what did I do? I had a friend of mine came over Thursday. And what we did, I've got two big 55-gallon plastic barrels on a special caddy with wheels so we can move it around in the garage. And I had water in there, and somebody said you have to change it every year. I thought, I haven't done that in 3 years. Duh. So I said, hey, let's just take these out and we'll flush them and put fresh water in them, roll them back into the garage. We'll set them up to store. And we went ahead and did that. And so I have 110 gallons of fresh water in these two big heavy barrels. And the thing of it is, even though they were on rollers, it took two of us to move it because we had about 700 pounds to push. That's pretty heavy stuff. But we did that. So, you know, if you're storing water, make sure you change it out every year. In my case, I probably could have used it because I've got a Berkey water system with a filter, and it also has a fluoride filter, which takes out the fluoride in the water. So you take your tap water and you put it in there, and it goes through the carbon filters and then through the fluoride filters, and you've got really good tasting water. And locally, we have sodium hypochlorite, which is another version of chlorine, I'll put it that way. But it leaves a taste. We never had that taste of the water until the new water plant came in and they started using this stuff. And you can taste it. So I just love that Berkey system. And it holds a gallon and a half in the top, and it filters through in about 2 hours. And then I store it in the refrigerator in another container. And I drink all my water from that, even though I can get water out of the refrigerator if I want, or ice and stuff like that. But we went ahead and did that. We changed filters in the refrigerator. So we went ahead and did that. I've changed all my filters out. And so I'm ready for winter. But you have to be ready for stuff. What happens if something happens to the power grid or the power goes out? Do you have kerosene lamps? Do you have battery lamps? How are you going to survive? How are you going to keep warm? You know, I even have an electric vest. I don't have to use an extension cord. I've got a battery in there. I keep that charged, plug it in, hit the button, and it warms up. And if I forget and hit the button a couple of times, the light on the chest turns to red, and I want to tell you something, that vest is hot. And I did it accidentally sitting at a University of Findlay basketball game last year, and I thought, I'll just turn my vest off, make sure it's off, and I thought it was off. No, it was red hot. Woo! And I just started sweating, and I finally looked down, I saw that color, I thought, oh no. So I hit it again, it turned blue, which means a lower setting, and I hit it again, and it didn't light up, and I was grateful. It's a rude awakening, but you know, you have to prepare. And you know, people said, "Well, you're a prepper." No, I'm not a prepper. I want to be able to have food around the house if something happens with the markets. Remember the thing with toilet paper back then, during the Woohoo flu. Remember, you couldn't get toilet paper, and you wondered how you were going to get toilet paper. And now we're trying to figure out how we're going to pay for toilet paper because it's expensive. That's something I read today on Facebook. That's probably true. The economy is not that good, and we're paying more for food. We're paying about the same in gasoline, but food, as the prices are going up, all the prices are going up. And people are watching how they're spending their money. So guess what? Christmas time, you're not going to get a lot of fancy stuff. I think what we're all going to end up with at Christmas time is going to be common sense things that you need, whether or not it's clothing or whether or not it might be some type of tools. That's another thing. What do you have for tools? And if they're battery operated, are those tools charged up, especially in the wintertime? And I'm going to have to go through all my electrical tools because I've got these battery packs, the Ryobi tools, and I'm going to have to make sure that they're all charged. Do you have a generator? How about solar? A lot of things to think about. And it's important that you do, because your loved ones or your friends are going to need some help. And how do you save money in a pandemic situation or other situations when you're having a high inflation rate? You have to live beneath your means. And if that means giving up steak and start hamburger, and if hamburger gets expensive, chicken, if chicken gets expensive, fish, if fish gets expensive, cans of soup, you know, you have to think of things. It's that time of season, you know. And if you can spare out some extra food or extra money to help other people, do it. It'll come back to you in the end. It really will. I saw something on X today. Innocent Americans won't be hearing a pounding on their door at 6 a.m. when the Trumpster appoints General Flynn to head the FBI. I find that kind of interesting. I don't know who's going to get the nomination, but if there's any criminality involved in politics, they need to get rid of it. There's nothing worse than a dirty politician. Just ask the people in Chicago and LA, and San Diego, San Francisco, Boston. You got to check that out. It's something else. Well, hey, you know, we often talk about fun things. And people ask me, they say, well, what about the Wrinkle City Gazette? What's going on there? And, you know, there were pictures in the Wrinkle City Gazette of the big parade in Wrinkle City, and where the Christmas green was all lit up, and you know, it was a 20-minute parade, and it started at the Stonecutters Lodge, and it went around Suey Square. Alton J. Suey is the mayor there, and it's everything's named, I think, after Suey. But they always have it. Do you have a parade in your town? I mean, in ours, it's about a 20-minute parade, and you might have a couple hundred people watching it, and everybody else really doesn't care. And if they do care, they're busy, or they're, you know, they're working or whatever. or maybe they're watching the football game. You never know. But how do you celebrate or get in the Christmas season? Do you have your lights up? You know, I've noticed today a lot less lights are going up. My neighbor across the street, I can hear the roar of the blowers and those inflatable things. You know, I take my car and back out of the drive. And if I want to put the windows down for just do it for fun. And you listen to the roar of these things and the blowing up all of these inflatable toys and stuff. Their electric bill is going to be bad. And down the way from me, about 2 miles away on the one main street out of town, there's a house that must have thousands. I mean, thousands of lights and thousands of figurines and stuff, all kinds of stuff. And last year they had to have a couple of portable generators because they had to cut down on their electric bill because it was so much of an overload. So they had to get generators to run the stuff. And people drive by and they slow down. And this is a major exit out of town. You've got semi trucks. You've got people going to work and coming back from work, or people out partying, whatever. And they drive by real slow, or they pull over and park. And they watch all this stuff. They go, ooh, ah. And there's a photographer in town that takes these beautiful pictures of all this stuff. But a lot of the town just doesn't have a lot of Christmas lights. Maybe it's too early. I don't know. You know, maybe the trailer park is all decked up. I don't know. I did see a figurine of Santa on a roof. It was a one-story house, and Santa was doing something, and he had, well, let's put it this way. He had a stream of lights going down to a puddle on the ground, and he was doing a piddle from the roof. Go picture that one. Oh, yeah. Fun things in Wrinkle City. Yeah, how about the history of the Christmas tree angel? Did you ever hear that one? It was Christmas Eve and nothing was going right. Mrs. Claus had burned all the cookies. The elves were complaining about not getting paid for the overtime they had worked making toys and were threatening to go on strike. The reindeer had been drinking eggnog all afternoon. To make matters worse, a few of the other elves had taken the sleigh out for a spin earlier in the day and had crashed it into a tree. Maybe they were on eggnog too. Well, Santa was furious. I don't think he was saying ho, ho, ho. But Santa said, I can't believe it. I've got to deliver millions of presents all over the world in just a few hours, and all of my reindeer are drunk. The elves are walking out, and I don't even have a Christmas tree. So Santa sent that stupid little angel out hours ago to find a tree, and he hasn't even come back yet. What am I going to do? Said Santa. Well, just then, the little angel opened the front door and stepped in from the snow night. It was snowy outside. And dragging a Christmas tree. And the angel said, yo, fat man, where do you want me to stick this tree this year? And thus the tradition of an angel on top of the Christmas trees came to pass. Can you imagine that? Oh my God, there's so much stuff out there. You know, a few days before Christmas, two young brothers were spending the night at their grandparents' house. And when it was time to go to bed, they were really anxious to do something they both knelt down to say their prayers. And suddenly the younger one began to do so in a very loud voice. And he said at the top of his voice, "Dear Santa, or dear Lord, please ask Santa Claus to bring me a PlayStation, a mountain bike, and a telescope." And he repeated it and said it louder and louder and louder. And his older brother said, he leaned over and said, "Why are you shouting your prayers? God isn't deaf." And the other brother said, "I know," he replied, "but Grandma is." Two snowmen were talking to each other. And one snowman said to the other one, "I got one of those DNA kits. Turns out I'm 85% water, 8% dirt, and 7%. Ooh. What do dogs do? Dog pee, 7%. I don't know what my DNA would show. I don't think it would show that. Well, you know, there's a law firm by the name of Dewey, Cheatham & Powell. And it was coming up to Christmas, and the judge was in a jolly frame of mind. And he said, "Now, please me, what is the charge again for you?" And the guy says, "I was caught doing my Christmas shopping very early," replied the man in the, what they call the dock, or the place where the prisoners are. "And that doesn't seem like an offense to me," said the judge. "What do you mean by very early?" "Well, Your Honor," said the defendant, "it was before the shop was open." Well, you know, it was coming up Christmas, and Sammy asked his mom if he could have a new bike. So she told him that the best idea would be to write to Santa Claus. But Sam, having just played a vital role in the school nativity play, said he would prefer to write to the baby Jesus. So his mother said that would be fine. Well, Sam went to his room and wrote, "Dear Jesus, I have been a very good boy and would like to have a bike for Christmas." But he wasn't very happy when he read it over, so he decided to try again. And this time he wrote, "Dear Jesus, I'm a good boy most of the time and would like a bike for Christmas." And he read it back again. He still wasn't happy. And he tried a third version and said, "Dear Jesus, I could be a good boy if I tried hard, especially if I had a new bike." And that one too, he still wasn't satisfied with it. So he decided to go out for a walk while he thought about a better approach to writing the letter. And after a short time, he passed a house with a small statue of the Virgin Mary in the front garden. And he crept in, stuffed the statue under his coat, hurried home, and hid it under the bed. And then he wrote his final letter, and it says, "Dear Jesus, if you want to see your mother again, you better send me the bike." Can you imagine that? You know, I can imagine Santa in the sleigh, and he's getting the reindeer, they're all lined up and getting ready to go, and he's going to deliver the presents. And Donner and Blitzen, who were at the back of the pack, Donner looks over to Blitzen and he says, "Hey, Blitzen." Blitzen goes, "What?" He said, "Did you eat all your beans for dinner?" And Blitzen says, "Yeah, 13 cans. And guess who's riding behind? Santa. I'll tell you what, guys, there's so much stuff going on out there. Be safe. Keep your head on a swivel. Watch what's going on, okay? Because it's Christmas time. You have money that you're going to use to buy presents, if you have any money. And you have to account for every penny. And don't let somebody pick your pocket. Don't let somebody con you into doing things. Because they will gladly take your money and you'll get nothing for it. Okay? So I'll leave you with some thoughts for the day. Birds of a feather flock together and then they crap all over your car. Ain't it the truth? You can get your car, take it to a car wash, get it cleaned up, spotless, put on the extra stuff, you know, for extra money. And the car comes out looking really good. You finally get home, you put it out in the driveway, and it's, you know, you hope it dries off good. And you come back out, and all of a sudden, the birds have decorated your car. Then it's back to the car wash again. I swear, the car washes are paying birds to do their dirty work. Remember this, a penny saved is government oversight. Actually, in government, pennies are never saved. They're always spent. The real art of conversation is not only to say the right thing at the right time, but also to leave unsaid the wrong thing at the tempting moment. The older you get, the tougher it is to lose weight. Especially by then, your body and your fat have gotten to be really good friends. Eat healthy over Christmas. I know you won't, because there's going to be cookies and snacks. Oh, some of the cookies that we had at that concert, they decorated, they made hundreds of cookies, maybe thousands of cookies, and had them all iced and decorated. It was all done by hand. And they had them all wrapped up for everybody, so everybody got a gift. It's fantastic. The guys at the tip center, if my name was Hatlow, I'd give them the tip of the hat, you know. They were fantastic. Fantastic. Fantastic concert. And I'll tell you what, we had a lot of people have a lot of good comments at the concert about the band, and then also about the snacks afterwards. It was great. Especially, you know, you had people from a nursing home. They were brought in a bus and then brought in. And I could just imagine. Well, it rings to mind. One time I was playing in a brass band and we played a nursing home. And everybody was enjoying it except one lady. And she was down front and she had a wheelchair with a tray on it and so forth. And she was getting a little rowdy, and one of the nurses or attendants went over and said, look, calm down. And, you know, if you behave, you get nice things to eat. And all we heard was, I want my cookie. I want my cookie. And she pounded on that tray while we were playing. That's all she wanted was, and we were ready to say, give her the cookie. Shut up, give her the cookie. And what made things really bad was that nursing home had a community dog, you know, the old yeller type of, I don't know, maybe a mixed breed of dog. It was a big one. And one of the guys took his tuba apart, took the bell off of it, and disassembled the thing, and he was walking out the door to go out to the car to load up. He didn't see the dog sit down in front of me, tripped over the dog. The tuba went crashing to the floor. The bell went rolling down the floor. The guy was saying a few words because he got tripped by the dog, and the dog was yipping and running down the hallway. And I don't think we were ever invited back to that place. We didn't play badly. But I think because the dog got kicked and it was a mess. But you notice all kinds of funny things during your Christmas concerts, all kinds of stuff. But anyhow, a big hats off to the Tip Center in Tip City, Ohio, for a fantastic location. Beautiful location. And so you want to check that out. And you could see it on, they're not on Facebook, but I believe they're on the web. You can check it. Beautiful building. Matter of fact, I was there this afternoon. I forgot something and had to go pick it up. Can you imagine that? Whew. Here I am looking for something. It was very expensive that I left by accident. I hate doing that. But, you know, it's the season. And you got to get out there and celebrate the season and know the reason for the season. And with that, Michael, I'm done for this Wednesday. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday on My World.
Sounds good. Thank you all for tuning in. And we will catch you. Matter of fact, on Sunday, we have a show of Life Walk with Christ God. So don't forget that. And well, we've got the bowl pick'ems are coming up. That's right. So that's coming up too. We've got those coming up, and we'll talk about all that. The last of the games for the season is this weekend, Army, Navy, stuff like that. And then after that, it's bowl season, baby. So, but we'll talk to everyone, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network. And adios.
See ya.